KW1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. An appeals court in Georgia granting a request by Donald Trump's attorneys to review a decision by the judge overseeing the Georgia election interference case. It centers around a ruling allowing DA Fani Willis to remain on the case if the prosecutor she had a relationship with quit. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
The appellate court has agreed to take up the matter. They haven't, agreed to any decision, but they've at least agreed to take it up, which is yet one more delay for a case that still does not have a date to start trial.
Trump's hush money trial resumes tomorrow, with Stormy Daniels expected to take the stand again. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin confirming the U.S. has hit the pause button on some bomb shipments to Israel at the Senate hearing. Austin says while the Pentagon reviews Israel's plans for a military operation in Rafah. And severe storms on the march across the Midwest and South again today. Parts of Missouri, Illinois, and Kentucky remain under tornado watches. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Wisconsin today announcing a huge expansion of Microsoft's footprint in Racine County. But Biden has work to do with Democrats on his support for the Israeli war in Gaza.
Remember, looking back to the primaries in Wisconsin and Michigan, we saw those protest votes over this issue when it comes to President Biden. That is a huge warning sign for the president in these critical battleground states where a few thousand votes, as we saw last election, could really decide it all.
Reporter Rachel Scott in Washington. Wisconsin is getting almost $18 million from Washington to fight fentanyl and opioid abuse. Senator Tammy Baldwin chairs a key appropriations subcommittee. She says communities on the front lines need resources to fight the epidemic. The money comes from the state opioid response grant program. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Fox Valley Pride is looking for a location for its annual celebration after the city of Neenah said no to closing down its busiest streets for the event. Mayor Jane Lang says the issue comes from closing two blocks of West Wisconsin Avenue during peak shopping time. Fox Valley Pride is considering other locations, including Neenah's Riverside Park, Appleton, Menasha, or even a blended event with Oshkosh Pride. The Menasha Police Department wants to hire more officers due to an increase in population and the number of calls. To do so will require a referendum asking taxpayers for an extra 73 cents per $1,000 on property valuation or an extra $114 per year for the average home. The city's administrative committee is reaching out to the Department of Revenue for more information and will address the issue at the August 5th meeting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Brewers win a thriller. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A 6-5 win in Kansas City over the Royals. Top of the ninth, the crew down 5-3. The Royals fans daring Adames to be the hero. Brewers manager Pat Murphy after the win.
Willie is telling the fans he's going to do it. The group of fans right by the on-deck circle, Willie is announcing to them, if I get up there, we're going to take the lead. He's announcing it to him over and over, and they're playing back and forth to each other. Gary walks. He turns back to him. He goes, watch this. Bam.
You're being serious?
I'm being dead serious. It's what he did. It's amazing. No, it was unbelievable. I watched this, and I'm looking at Ricky, and I'm looking back at him, and he's carrying on with him during Gary's at bat. And he's telling them, and they're all Kansas City fans, and he's telling them, one more ball, one more ball. It was a 3-0 pitch, and then 3-1. And he goes, one more. And he turned back to him, and he goes, here we go. Watch this. Went up there. Boom. I mean, it was like, did I just see that? It was a cool moment.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bright and beautiful today under mostly sunny skies. Highs will hit the mid-60s. Clouds thicken tonight and winds become breezy as a chance of spotty showers scrape us, bringing a darker, breezier, and cooler day tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Mino and the Mayor.
Did you see the dumbest thing I did? Catherine, who we just love here, she runs the whole company pretty much. She brought, like, Blues Brothers glasses. So she wanted us all to walk in together wearing the black glasses. So we're sitting in the thing, and I'm reading the program. Reach my glasses, where I always carry it, put them on. It's like, holy crap, they dropped the lights. Now I can't read anything. So I take them off. I put my sunglasses on. How dumb is that?
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Rocky Laporte, who joins the show to talk about his big show in Wisconsin, and Jimmy Cuska joins me to talk sports.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, is always on the board. It is Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Mr. Zommers, it is
Pump Day.
There you go. Joining us from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, as per usual on Wednesdays, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trevi Olson, and I believe Pat Kreitler will be along in a bit as well. But first of all, we want to get you right down to Sturtevant, Wisconsin, just outside of Racine, at the Gateway Technical College iMet Center, where President Biden is visiting. His remarks got underway about 3 or 4 minutes ago, just during the news. So we're bringing this to you at about a three-minute delay or so. Mr. Zommers is going to start it from the top, so let's go now just a little bit after live to the iMet Center at the Gateway Technical College in Sturtevant, where President Biden is beginning his remarks.
Thank you. Hello, Wisconsin. And Nick, thanks for the introduction. Look, before I get started, I want to set the record straight. Please sit down. I went to a Catholic high school in Delaware, taught by the Norbertine priest from St. Norbert's College. A little team called Green Bay. Now, here's the deal. We were the only high school in Delaware that overwhelmingly rooted for Green Bay. Not a joke, I'll tell you why. Every single Sunday. Not only did they have great teams at the time, I still do, but not only that, my theology professor at the Catholic school I went to was a guy named Riley, last name, and he had been drafted by the Green Bay Packers, and he decided to become a priest before that, so he didn't go. But every single solitary Monday that Green Bay won, we got the last period of the day off. Now, we Catholics call that indirect bribery, but it worked. It's always great to be with one of the best governors in America, Tony Abbott. I think of Tony, I mean it. I think of one word, integrity. You're a man of absolute integrity. And, what I'm really doing, I'm really auditioning for a job with a little company that's going to build something out here. thank you for the comments you made about what we're doing together. Well, look, while she couldn't be here, I want to thank the best, one of the best U.S. senators in the United States of America, a good friend of mine, Tammy Baldwin. You also got a great mayor in Racine, Corey Mason. Brad Smith, President of Microsoft, thank you for your partnership, for showing how we get things done and big things done in America. And thank you for your friendship. I really mean it. Liz Schuller, President of LCI, thank you for all you do for the benefit of the American Union movement. There's, you know, I got called the most pro-union president in American history. I make no apologies for it. I'm serious. Middle class built America, but unions built the middle class. I've been saying that for a long time. Folks, I'm here to talk about a great comeback story in America. I'm sure you remember, Racine was once a manufacturing boomtown all the way through the 1960s. Power companies invented and manufacturing Windex, portable vacuum cleaners, and so much more, and powered by middle-class jobs. And then came trickle-down economics, cut taxes for the very wealthy and the biggest corporations, again in the 60s. We shipped American jobs overseas because labor was cheaper. We slashed public investment in education and innovation. And the result, we hollowed out the middle class. My predecessor and his administration doubled down on that failed trickle-down economics, along with the trial of broken promises. Look, my dad used to have an expression. He said, Joey, a job, I mean this sincerely. My dad was a well-read man, never got to go to college, but he was a good man all across the board. And he'd say, Joey, remember, a job's a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your integrity. It's about your dignity. It's about being treated with respect. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, everything's going to be okay. In fact, 6 years ago, when my predecessor came to Racine with the promise of, quote, reclaiming our country's proud manufacturing legacy. Well, we had Infrastructure Day every week for 4 years, didn't build a damn thing. He and the administration promised a $10 billion investment by Foxconn to build a new manufacturing complex, create 13,000 new jobs. In fact, he came here with your Senator Ron Johnson, literally holding a golden shovel, promising to build the eighth wonder of the world. Are you kidding me? Look what happened. They dug a hole with those golden shovels, and then they fell into it. Look, they didn't shovel other dirt. They did shovel some dirt. 100 homes were bulldozed. They wasted hundreds of millions of dollars, your state and local tax dollars, to promise a project that never happened. Foxconn turned out to be just that, a con. Go figure. In just 4 years under his administration, instead of creating 13,000 jobs in Racine, my predecessor, and 1,000 manufacturing jobs, rather than creating them, 1,000 manufacturing jobs left Racine. 83,500 total jobs left Wisconsin during my predecessor's term. But that's not on my watch. We're determined to turn it around. Thus far, since we've come to office, we've created, and with the governor's overwhelming leadership, we've created over 178,000 jobs in Wisconsin, and we're going to create more here in Racine, and big time. Some of my friends on the far right have criticized my Investing in America agenda, which includes my bipartisan infrastructure law, the CHIPS and Science Act, and the Inflation Reduction Act. A lot of business leaders support it as a key to economic growth that we're seeing now. Remember here, you're going to hear a recession next week, no soft landing. Well, in fact, I've asked business leaders like Brad a simple question. When the United States decides to invest considerable resources in a new industry that we need to build, does that encourage or discourage them engaging? The answer overwhelmingly is it encourages business investment. And that's what we're seeing now with our administration. My Investing in America agenda is fueling historic boom in rebuilding our roads and bridges, developing and deploying clean energy, revitalizing American manufacturing, and so much more. So far, we've created $866 billion in private sector investment nationwide, almost $1 trillion. Historic amounts, such a short time. Now, it's literally creating hundreds of thousands of jobs, building new semiconductor factories, electric vehicles and battery factories, and so much more, here, all here in America. Today, it's another example of the private sector optimism. Microsoft, as the President already pointed out, is investing $3.3 billion to build a new data center here in Racine. That's going to help operate one of the most powerful artificial intelligence systems in the world, and I've gone around the world, literally, not figuratively, meeting with the leading architects of AI. It's going to result in 2,300 union construction jobs just to build a new facility. And 2,000 permanent workers to work in the data centers. In addition, we're also providing a pipeline to train these new jobs. A pipeline that starts right here at this very spot. Microsoft is partnering with Gateway Technical Community College right here to train and certify 200 students a year to fill high-demand, good-paying jobs in data and IT at Microsoft's new AI data center here in Racine. But that's not all. In addition, Microsoft is continuing a pipeline going to high schools in nearby Mount Pleasant to train high school students for jobs of the future. As the boss pointed out, it's going to create 100,000 jobs over time. It's all part of Microsoft's broad plan to build an artificial intelligence ecosystem right here in Racine. And it's going to be transformative, not here, just here, but worldwide. It's not only significant investment in infrastructure in Racine, but for the people of Racine. It means folks are getting trained. Folks are getting trained in new, high-paying, high-skilled jobs that don't require a four-year college degree and don't require you to leave home. You know, where I come from, that really matters. I know what it's like when your parents have to move the family in search of work because there's no jobs. What it does to the family's dignity. My wife, Jill, who teaches full-time at a community college, cares a lot about this as well. Last year, she announced our first 5 workforce hub sites to build a pipeline of workers and industries that create the new hometowns. They're creating their new hometowns in Phoenix, Baltimore, Columbus, Ohio, Augusta, Georgia, building everything from semiconductors to electric vehicles. Last month, I announced 4 new hubs to continue to train workers for the jobs of the future, one of which is in Milwaukee. That trains workers to help replace every poisonous lead pipe in America in a decade and funded by the infrastructure law. And by the way, Buy America has been the law of the land since the 30s, but it's been ignored by most administration. Past administration, including my predecessor, failed to buy America. Not anymore. Here's how it works.
And we've been listening to or continue to listen to the speech by President Joe Biden in Racine, Wisconsin, technically in Sturtevant. He is currently at the Gateway Technical College at the iMet Center in Sturtevant, where you have to pause for a short break, do some business here, about a minute long or so. We are pausing the speech here technically, so we will be able to hear it in its entirety. We'll come back on the other side with the conclusion of President Biden's speech. This special coverage from Racine is the Tile Ball Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to special coverage of President Joe Biden's visit to Racine, Wisconsin, the Racine area in Sturtevant, technically at the Gateway Technical College at the iMet Center. We are going to pick up and conclude his special remarks here in the Racine area. Come back with Trigvi Olsen and Pat Kreitlow for analysis on the other side. Let's rejoin the speech by President Biden in Racine.
Not anymore. Here's how it works. When the Congress sends something to the president, to build something, whether it's a road, a highway, a deck of an aircraft carrier, whatever it is, that president, back from law that's passed in the 30s, is supposed to hire American workers to build it and use American products. Well, on my watch and Tammy's leadership, federal projects like the Blatnik Bridge here in Wisconsin, it's going to cost $1 billion. But it's called all American made, all American products, and all American work, and it's going to create 10,000 new jobs. 10,000. In addition, the roads and highways and so much more will be made with American products, built by American workers, creating good-paying American jobs. What's happening in Racine is really important for another reason. We'll see more technical community colleges, technical changes needed in the next 10 years than we saw in the last 50. AI is already driving that change in every part of American life, from how we teach and learn to how we solve the biggest challenges, from curing cancer to climate change. America is a global leader in AI, and American companies lead the world in AI innovation and a lot of what we're going to see here in Racine. Because of our initiatives, American workers will power that innovation here in America. But look, to get the full benefit of all these safeguards, we need safeguards. That's why, as the President pointed out, I signed the landmark executive order on which the most significant action any government has taken anywhere in the world has ever taken for AI safety, security, and trust. This order helps make sure workers have a seat at the table determining how these technologies are developed and used. For real. And we'll support workers in every industry by defending the right to a fair wage to organize as these technologies emerge across the board, and they're going to happen. Folks, during the previous administration, my predecessor made promises which he broke more than kept, left a lot of people behind in communities like Racine. On my watch, we make promises and we keep promises. And we leave no one behind. Since I took office, we've added nearly 4,000 jobs in Racine. As I said earlier, we've added 178,000 in the state of Wisconsin. The unemployment rate has hit a record low in Racine. Racine has seen some of the strongest new business growth in all of Wisconsin. And it's only just beginning. We're seeing a great American comeback story all across Wisconsin, and quite frankly, the entire country. The bottom line is, we're doing what's always worked in this country, giving people a fair shot, leaving nobody behind, and grow the economy in the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. When that happens, everybody does well. Everybody does well. Let me close with this. When folks see a new factory being built here in Wisconsin, people going to work making a really good wage in their hometowns, I hope they feel the pride that I feel. Pride in their hometowns making a comeback. Pride in knowing we can get big things done in America still. And folks, I've never been more optimistic, and I've only been around a couple years, I know. I know I don't look it, but I'm on 40 plus two types. Wait a minute. But I've never been more, I swear to God, I've never been more optimistic about our future. We just have to remember who in hell we are. We're the United States of America, and there's nothing beyond our capacity when we work together. Nothing. I mean that. Nothing. The rest of the world looks to us. So keep it going. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
President Joe Biden at the Gateway Technical College IMET Center, technically in Sturtevant, Wisconsin, just outside of the city limits of Racine. We welcome in our panel, as per usual, on a Wednesday. Trygve Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, formerly a Republican like myself, now in the nation's capital, and joining us from beautiful Lake Wissota, the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, I know you have a hard out here at the bottom of the hour, so we'll give you first shot at it. What was your takeaway at the president's remarks today in Racine?
We have been talking for some time about the need for the president and his campaign to toot their own horn a bit more, that the economy is doing better than, you know, the naysayers, but that this president was not doing enough. You see he's now doing that, and he has a very specific example here, not just in what's been created, but in what was not created, pointing out, in his own words, Foxconn turned out to be a con. And he's got to make the case that this job growth is not job growth off the bottom of the pandemic. This is job growth, you know, comparing apples to apples, mm-hmm. that he's had that Trump hasn't, right here in Wisconsin. So it was, as we talked about on Up North News Radio this morning, a real difference. You can see the difference between what Trump and his party was trying to promise for the Foxconn area versus what Biden and Microsoft and others are actually delivering.
And I think it's worth pointing out, and you were in the legislature for a term in the state Senate, what we're really doing here, not we, but Joe Biden and Governor Tony Evers continue to go around the state and clean up the messes of Scott Walker and Donald Trump. You saw this with Foxconn in southeast Wisconsin. We saw it up north with the mining legislation that gutted the mining regulations but came up with no jobs. This is not new, Pat.
No, it's not new at all. It's depressingly familiar as we keep trying to get that word out to folks that, you know, be careful what people are promising you or the naysaying that they're doing. Look at the actual work. Look at the actual record, and you'll see a very productive past 4 years. And the last thing we need to do is go backwards to people who were, you know, promising us basically the economic development equivalent of snake oil.
Trygve Olson, going to come back with you on the other side of the break. About a minute and a half left here in this segment. Your old Badger Boy State colleague, Scott Walker, continued to make promises in Racine he couldn't keep. Was that something he did back in Badger Boy State? And thank God we got Joe Biden out to clean it up.
You know, I don't know what kind of promises he was making at Badger Boy State, other than that he was planning to run for higher office someday and beyond Badger Boy State.
I think you're absolutely right. But
I mean, here's the thing. I thought Biden's speech, you know, Joe Biden is never going to be compared to Barack Obama or Ronald Reagan on the stump. But from a substance standpoint and trying to achieve the objectives he was trying to achieve, I think, you know, it was a strong speech, right? Like, mm-hmm. when I think of Racine, I don't think of Microsoft and high tech.
It's awesome.
Will.
Yeah, you will. You will, thanks to this investment here in southeast Wisconsin. And he started off with the Green Bay Packers. And according to our reporter, Stuart J. Waddles, Mark Murphy was there. Was at this event, apparently.
Was he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So there you
Pretty
go.
Pretty interesting.
Some insider news.
It was good to name drop that, like name drop Green Bay. And he name dropped the Microsoft president name dropped getting Steele from the Wausau area and Chillers from the La Crosse area. And make it sound like a fully Wisconsin investment, because it is. We're all going to reap the benefits.
Nobody is more Wisconsin than Pat Kreitlow. Join him every morning, 6 to 8 for Up North News Radio. Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate you. Back with Trygve on the other side.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you midday on a Wednesday. The latest crop progress and condition report from USDA says nearly a quarter of Wisconsin farmers are done planting corn and soybeans, and some growers are seeing the crop come out of the ground already in southern parts of Wisconsin. Not only are eyes on the field this time of year, but they're also on the strawberry patch. Danielle Clark of Mayberry Farms in Dodge County says her strawberry plants are going to flower soon, but there's still a lot of time before strawberry season in June for Mother Nature to throw a curveball.
So we're set to flower this sometime this week. So, you know, we're really hitting that mid-June target is what we typically say. Strawberry season is June. June is berry month here at Mayberry Farms, we say, but, you know, all over the state with other berry farms. We're bracing for whatever Mother Nature is going to throw at us in that next month because we just never know. But hopefully, as we always say, it's going to be our best one yet.
Danielle Clark along with us from Mayberry Farms in Mayville, Wisconsin, where they grow 12 acres of strawberries. Stick around for a look at your midday commodity markets coming up.
Sorting out fact from fiction. That's exactly where Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested this growing season. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, says farmers are being approached with so many different products these days, it's important they get clear, correct information.
Those farmers are really getting bombarded with, you know, carbon farming, be able to improve soil health. But what does this really mean? It's kind of a big nebula. So we're really trying to say these indices are ones that farmers can use and rely on, and they have a relationship with soybean yield. And we've identified some of those. But the cool thing is now we're wondering what management strategies help alter or change those. So can we actually improve our soil health metrics? And one thing that we found in this initial data set is that we've seen actually long-term, and by long-term, I mean a minimum of 5 years of cover cropping, actually improve some of our soil health metrics. So that's important and exciting for farmers.
Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean researcher, taking Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars to the field. Follow the story at wisoybean.org.
Wednesday from Chicago, cash corn is trading down 7 cents at 460 a bushel. December new crop corn is down 6 1/4 at 482 1/4. Cash soybeans are trading down 3 3/4 cents at 1242 3/4. November new crop beans are down 4 1/2 at 1223 1/2. And July new crop wheat is trading down 11 1/4 cents at 631 1/2. Prices are moving in the other direction for the Class 3 milk contracts. The June contract is up 24 cents at 1967 a hundredweight. The July contract is trading up 20 cents at 1946. And looking ahead to the August Class 3 milk contract, that's up 22 cents at 1944. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Bright and beautiful today under mostly sunny skies. Highs will hit the mid-60s. Clouds thicken tonight and winds become breezy as a chance of spotty showers scrape us, bringing a darker, breezier, and cooler day tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever there'd be like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Crude and Dom.
Joe Biden in Racine, Wisconsin. Crudy's there. He's going to bring you all the coverage on the Devil's Advocates. Tune in 3 to 6, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back
back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Mr. Zomers on the board, just trying to cause a riot.
Well, no, it's intuition.
Oh, intuition.
And so, you know, you just got to think. Yeah. You don't need proof. You right. just need to follow your intuition whenever you want to make an argument.
That's at least according to Speaker Mike Johnson. We're going to get to that in a minute. We are joined, as per usual, Mr. Zomers and I, by our ongoing contributor and friend, Mr. Trigvi Olson, a former Republican like myself, grew up in northwestern Wisconsin and now finds himself in the nation's capital of Washington, D.C., is kind enough to join us every Wednesday afternoon, a senior advisor now at the Lincoln Project. Just got done listening to almost, we delayed it just because we could take the top of the hour news. So it was basically live remarks. It was delayed about 2.5-3 minutes there. But Trigvi, we listened to the speech by President Biden at the IMET Center at Gateway Technical College, was there in Sturtevant, just outside of Racine. And talked, you know, started off after talking about the Packers and got a good laugh and kind of warmed up the room a little bit, talking about that for 6 years, basically, you know, in the campaign and then while I was president, Trump would, you know, come, or 6 years ago, I should say, Trump came to Racine, promised $10 billion in investment and 13,000 jobs. And, you know, they, as Biden said, they were there, they dug a hole in the ground with golden shovels. But nothing really, you know, nothing came of it really, other than 100 homes being bulldozed under eminent domain and, you know, a Foxconn that was more of a con than a fox. Contrast that with Biden's record thus far regarding infrastructure, the record bipartisan investment that Pete Buttigieg helped get through Congress that Biden signed. And here he is actually delivering in his first term, Trigvi.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the reality is when you in survey after survey, the number one issue overwhelmingly ends up being the economy, inflation, and what's happening. I mean, I think the Biden campaign recognizes they have some vulnerability on it, right? Like, the economy has been getting better. It hasn't necessarily been something that people are feeling that way. And, it, you know, in politics, it's never what is that is. It's what people think that is that really matters. So I think, you know, from the perspective of trying to set a narrative in May of an election year, you know, going to a place like Racine, bringing in the president of Microsoft, sort of recasting, as I said in the previous segment, recasting how people perceive Racine, right? That's a positive step. It really is. And it's got the bonus on top that it contrasts with Trump and Walker and all of that. But at the end of the day, what's most important is sort of, you know, that we're doing things. The cheerleader piece. There was a cheerleader piece to that.
And he talked about that, you know, unlike Hillary Clinton in 2016, Biden's folks are definitely not taking Wisconsin for granted. This is the fourth time that President Biden has been to Wisconsin thus far. And we got word today that Vice President Harris will be back in Wisconsin either later this week or early next week. And in the speech today in Racine, or just outside of Racine, Biden again brought up, hey, I was just here in Superior. You know, our old friend Bill McCosh's hometown up there in Superior. Yeah. Nobody was a bigger advocate during the Tommy years than Bill McCosh, Secretary of Commerce there. And, you know, Biden was there. We were up there covering that in Superior, the Blotnick Bridge, 10,000 jobs. And I want to get your take on this, Trigvi, because we did the show last Friday back up in Eau Claire at the Pablo Center, the beautiful Pablo Center, for this new film called When the Rubber Hit the Road. It's about the closure of Unaroyal Tire. And both in the film, and I encourage people to see it when it comes to your hometown, you can also get it on DVD, in the film, and then after there was a Q&A with some of the former Unaroyal Tire workers in the Chippewa Valley. And one of the guys, Dennis Miller, no, not that Dennis Miller, Dennis Miller from Unaroyal in Eau Claire, and he made this point that these union jobs really gave people a living wage and allowed people to own a home, to own an automobile, to put their kids to school, to have security for so many years up there. And again, Joe Biden today talking about the fact there's this project in Racine through Microsoft is going to create 2,300 union construction jobs and 2,000 permanent jobs.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I was at UW-Eau Claire, and probably you and Pat were talking about this, like, because he was there at the same time. Right. I was at UW-Eau Claire when Uniroyal, when all that was going down. And it was really hard on that community, because to your point, Uniroyal provided just a lot of, you know, the sense of community. It was a central piece, along with Cray Research, really, in the university of sort of the Chippewa Valley. And my labor economics teacher, who later became chair of the economics department at Eau Claire, was a guy named Ed Young, real mentor to me, and just an awesome guy. He was a worker at the plant who used their, you know, the reprogramming to get his master's degree and then PhD in economics and become a labor economics teacher. So one of the things with that, I don't know how much the movie touches on it. Does it touch on sort of what the things the state was doing in the community to retrain people?
Yeah, it actually has a couple of clips from a vintage Tommy Thompson in the movie there. And the movie, to its credit, I think the documentary and BJ Hollers were the filmmakers. We had him on the show last week talking about it. To the film's credit, it doesn't just focus on the closing, but it focuses on the people of the plant and these remarkable human stories. And then how, while nobody wanted the closure of Uniroyal, nobody wished it, how that actually led to a transformation in Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley, a community that instead of sitting around and saying, poor me, actually just pulled themselves up by the bootstraps and revitalized downtown and reimagined Eau Claire.
Completely. And you know what? That is one of the, you know, there is a rebirth to these places. I don't know if you've ever been to Cleveland, right? Like, I hadn't been to Cleveland in ages. Mm-hmm. And when I think, you know, and then the convention was there. And so I had to go out there all the time. And we were working with the Cleveland Clinic. I was shocked when I got to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. What an awesome city. And I thought that the last time I was in Milwaukee, I'd been in Milwaukee in ages either. Milwaukee is one of those, all those cities that kind of went through the 70s and then in the 80s and early 90s kind of hit the skids. There was a rebirth as that manufacturing sector left. And I think, you know, that's why I asked about that, about, you know, what the state did. That was just classic Tommy Thompson. Mm-hmm. We're going to solve problems. And I think, you know, there's an element of Joe Biden. Certainly Joe Biden and Tommy Thompson wouldn't agree on, you know, they might agree 40, 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. They're also two guys who probably could cut deals with each other.
Exactly.
But they do strike me as guys who see problems, try and solve problems.
Yeah. And
we've gotten away from that with a lot of our politicians.
Right. And I think also to Evers' credit, he's been trying to work with the administration and has attempted to work in a bipartisan agreement. I would say if I was on a scorecard, I would say that Evers has attempted to work in a bipartisan manner for the betterment of Wisconsin, certainly more than the Republican legislature and Robin Voss. But it takes people to actually get things done. You can have people like Trump who pontificate a lot, but what are the results, right? What's your work product, as my former boss liked to say? And here you got Joe Biden and Tony Evers work together for an actual work product.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I obviously sometimes am critical of Tony Evers. I don't think it's a fact that Tony Evers, there's no lack of caring for the state of Wisconsin in Tony Evers. He cares about the state of Wisconsin. Could he be a more aggressive cheerleader for the state of Wisconsin? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, you know, results matter, and, you know, having the president of the United States come in and do some cheerleading, that's a good thing. It's a really good thing.
If you'd like to join Trigvi and I on talking about the president's visit to Wisconsin today or any other subject you'd like to ask Trigvi, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you, 855-75 Civic, that's C-I-V-I-C. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download the app at the iPhone or on your iPhone or Android device. right here. Again, 855-752-4842. I believe we have Gene up in Eau Claire. Speaking of Eau Claire, listening to us up there on the tap, our station in Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for listening and calling in. What say you?
Hi. Well, I just want to make some comments on Uniroyal, having been personally affected by it, and all my family members and aunts and uncles. And I mean, they were a big employer. Mm-hmm. And because they had good wages, they also had insurance. So then when they closed down, a lot of people didn't have health insurance, and they didn't have Obamacare at that time. Also, they had issues. They had a credit union that was started during Uniroyal, and a lot of people were, you know, would buy activities, you know, for when they're off on their days off, because they work very, very hard, 90-degree weather, building tires and the hot rubber smells and stuff like that, that these guys took advantage of their weekends, and so they put a lot of money in toys and and leisure time activities, and it was a shocker.
Yeah.
And then also, I have a question, but then they all got together, and everybody worked together with the training, like Trigby brought up, and, you know, it made the information available to all the workers, which was really important, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what helped survive. And another thing, too, is I have a question for you, Trigby, because there are so many issues that Tony Evers has to work with, including our side of the state, where people have been lined up in emergency room because they're not, you know, they don't have the available services. And the Republicans are sitting on the money blaming Tony Evers. So I'm just wondering, how does he advocate for all the things that he's trying to work with, PFAS, you know, and the things that these guys are deliberately stonewalling on? You got any ideas on that? I'd love to hear your ideas.
That's a great question. And I think, you know, the key thing is he needs to take these issues to the people, right? Like some of the stuff that's being done on public education or the Wisconsin idea or the issues that you're talking about, hospitals. When we were dealing with my mom in hospice, there's issues with aging parents that everybody my age you talk to in Wisconsin is dealing with the same thing. One of my buddies is going through it now. You know, Evers, that's where I'm critical of Evers is he needs to have more faith in the people of Wisconsin and that he could take the message of what he's trying to do directly to them and directly to audiences that he might think, you know, haven't voted for him in the past, but he could win them over by going directly at them. You know, sort of the Chamber of Commerce, Main Street, small town business people who typically vote Republican. He could get a lot more of them to be backing him in pursuing an agenda of solving problems. But that requires getting out around the state and really sort of that cheerleader role.
I also think, Trevi, with these new maps now that are fairer maps of the legislature, I would think that Democrats could use this as a leverage issue in some of these legislative races where the districts 100%. Are closer.
100%. And I mean, you know, the weird thing about the maps is, Todd, you know this, but listeners might not. I mean, basically what they did is they kind of took a punt. What they said is, all right, we're going to have 9 districts that are competitive and the rest of them, they're not so much. But it solves the problem, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really, it's not like they wanted to make a massive number of competitive districts. But it's a good thing. And honestly, if I were Tony Evers, I'd be looking at where those the map where those are, and you and I both know a couple of them are up in the Chippewa Valley over by La Crosse too.
About a minute
I would be spending a lot of time there.
About a minute left here, but I also think it's really good that it didn't tilt the other way, right? Like I think it's really good that we didn't have clearly Democratic leading maps on here.
Oh, I agree with that too. I mean, the state needs to have if you have competition, you know, competition is a brilliant thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why the free market works. And if you're a conservative, you believe that in that. You know, that competition will pull compromise and a need to get things done because those 8 or 9 legislators are going to be like, I need results.
Tom from Madison, we see you on the line. Don't go anywhere. Tom's calling, perhaps yours next. 855-752-4842. Trigby Olson, Mr. Zomers, and Mr. Allball back with more after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Direction.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The weather impacts everything, and the history of windmills includes using the weather. In this case, the wind, to help mill grain and pump water. The modern windmills that you see across Wisconsin today are often called wind turbines. These still use the wind, but now it's to produce electricity. And a new study shows that turbines can also lower the daytime temperature while keeping it warmer at night. The moving air protects crops from frost. It's a weather-ready fact. And Saturday, May 11th, is National Windmill Day. If you really want to celebrate, save June 5th through the 9th. Because it's Windmill Days in Baldwin, Wisconsin, a celebration of Dutch heritage and the windmills in the village. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us as he does every Wednesday, kindly enough, from our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., talking a little bit about the President Biden's remarks earlier today down in Racine, Wisconsin, talking about this new infrastructure investment by Microsoft going to create 2,300 new union construction jobs and 2,000 permanent worker jobs. Cleaning up Governor Scott Walker and, to a lesser degree, Donald Trump's mess in southeast Wisconsin. Here's what the president said earlier today, President Biden, on the whole Foxconn issue.
They wasted hundreds of millions of dollars, your state and local tax dollars, to promise the project that never happened. Foxconn turned out to be just that. A con. Go figure.
Pretty good comments there. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Listening on WMDX here in Madison. Tom in Madison. Tom, thanks for listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I wish that more Dems like Tony Evers, Tammy Baldwin, and some of the other ones would get a little more aggressive. It's kind of like when Biden turned to Dark Brandon. Right. When he took that, he basically just stole that entire Brandon thing away from them. Mm. And what he did today with Foxconn is a perfect example of turning the Republicans on their heads. And let's face it, the people that are actual conservative Republicans, like more of a Reagan-style Republican, and independents, I think, are going to appreciate a more aggressive stance than just trying to appeal to everybody.
I appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you so much.
100%, Tom. That is spot on. That's just a sage. Yeah, this is why Tony Evers needs to have more faith in the people. Mm-hmm. Take your message to the people.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I suggest that the Biden. Other side is sucking on lemons and eating prunes, walking around constipated and unhappy.
Well, if you look out at Washington, D.C. today, you'd think that's absolutely true of the Republicans today, the mega Republicans out there.
Honestly, Mike Johnson can only stay on the non-dark side for a short
a very short time. He decided to cross back over. And you know when you're having a press conference with Stephen Miller from the old right. Trump campaign, you know you're in trouble. And so the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, Republican, held a presser right before Joe Biden's comments here in Wisconsin today, talking about this new legislation they're rolling out, which would make it illegal for a non-U.S. citizen to vote. Here's a news flash. It already is. And so they're trying to
Well, they keep doing that.
Right. They're trying to justify it. Here was, I want you to hear this in his own voice without being cut up. Here is Mike Johnson taking a question on this legislation to asking basically, well, is this actually happening?
No. So actually on the first question, I mean, the answer is that it's unanswerable. That is the problem. states are not allowed right now to prove, if somebody claims on that simple form that they're a citizen, they can vote, they're not allowed to prove whether it's true or not. We all know intuitively that a lot of illegals are voting in federal elections, but it's not been something that is easily provable. We don't have that number. This legislation will allow us to do exactly that. It will prevent that from happening, and if someone tries to do it, it will now be unlawful, and the states will have a mechanism to prove whether they are or not. And to suggest that this is some sort of revenge tour is kind of a silly notion. What we're doing
there, it goes on from there. Trigby, you go first.
You know, Todd, I love that. If they can prove it's true, we know it's true, but we can't prove
right.
It's true. You know, the world is flat. We just can't prove it.
Right. I mean, this is some of the biggest load of horse crap you'll ever
Cindy
hear.
Cindy Crawford really wanted to date me when I was in college. Right. I can't prove it, but I know it's true. Just and never met me.
Here,
I mean,
you just intuitively
where does this
know.
End?
I
should have played in the NHL. They just didn't see it. I can't.
Here's a couple of books for the listeners on the stream on the radio. I'm holding it up. First one from Trigby's colleague at Lincoln Project. We've had him on the show. Stuart Stevens, It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump. It Was All a Lie by Stuart Stevens, where he outlines it is planned by Republicans to divide people along issues like this. And number two, the great book by Major Garrett and David Becker called The Big Truth, Upholding Democracy in the Age of the Big Lie, where they meticulously look through the 2020 election and prove that it was free, fair, and accurate. And on the other side of the second hour, I'm going to tell you a story about now Congressman Glenn Grothman, who called me up personally when he was still in the state Senate to challenge me on my comments to the press about Republicans trying to subvert the vote. And he made the same claim, Trigby. Well, we know it's happening. We just can't prove it. That's what he said.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it really, really is stupid. But what can you say?
Here's why it's dangerous. Because
if Brian Bostock hadn't been born, the Packers would have another Super Bowl trophy. I can't prove it, but I know it's true.
But here's why.
I mean, honestly, you can just go on with this game forever.
But it's dangerous because well-intentioned, well-meaning people that don't follow politics like you and I hear this, and it incites things that they think might be true in their head. It plays on people's worst fears, and it gins them up. You've talked about this before in your 7 rules for dealing with authoritarians.
Yeah.
I've got one actually for you right here. You know, intuitively, I know that Donald Trump is a terrible person and a rapist, but I can't put... Wait, I can prove that. That's just true.
That's actually been proven in a court of law, Zomer. So that is true. Todd.
Yeah.
You got your calendar?
I got my calendar. What do you got?
18th and 19th of June. I don't know which one it's going to be. I have a friend who I'm coming to Wisconsin with, a media personality of some note, and we're going to be in Madtown one of those 2 days. Can I bring this person on the show?
Always.
I think you'd like it.
Always. You've tickled my interest. 18th and 19th of June. I will be here.
18th
we'll,
and 19th.
Will you bring him by? Any friend of yours?
I
is a
just
friend of the
got
show.
The email confirming that I'm going to be in the great state of Wisconsin and doing some work with this person. And I think they should come on.
All right. 18th and 19th. Marked on your calendars. A mystery media person joining Trigby right here at the table in downtown Madison.
Right in town.
We'll look forward to it. In nervous anticipation. Oh. All right. Very good. Yeah. Any other big news popping? We've got about a minute left.
May 15th, a week from today, we're going to know, Todd, we're going to know what the NFL schedule is.
Yes.
Trigby
and I may be going
picking
to
games with
we
the
might,
daughters.
We might go to Seattle together to see the Packers.
We
we'll
might.
See
yep. With my kiddos. That will be a blast.
Thank you very much, Trigby Olson, Lincoln Project. See you next Wednesday, my friend. Stay tuned for more on the other side.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Maggie Dawn.
This is producer Anya. On our next show, Maggie and I will discuss Holocaust denialism, genocide prevention, and what all of us can do about it. Never again is now.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Mino and the Mayor.
You can see him every single Sunday win a Super Bowl, drive off in a Hyundai. Her baby crib is bigger than his. She was supposed to buy Tyco with her money. She bought LiPo with her money. Oh, I just got it tuned. Somebody just tuned in. Said, hey, I just tuned in. Was that actually Kanye or Mino singing that?
Oh, jeez.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.